right.
Cool. Not sure what we have in store for today, but let's see what unfolds.
Oh yeah. It's my off week, so I've been just kind of sitting in a creatively restless place. That's a nice way to say it. So
does that mean there's a lot of stuff bubbling up, or you're wanting more stuff?
Yeah. Like just having more and more clarity. Like so where I'm at right now is that I'm seeing that I'm really, really clear that I need some help. So I was really, right now I was just writing up some intern descriptions, and in the beginning I didn't know what to look, and then it occurred to me just talking to a couple people that there's a lot of different types of interns, and I thought I needed a social media intern, and I may or may not, but I'm like looking at, wow, it'd be kind of cool if I had a business development intern, an event planning intern, wow, that would really be helpful. So,
right, yeah, huh.
a web designer intern, you know. So I'm kind of exploring that, but now I'm faced with writing a job description and doing that. So I was kind of just mucking around with what that would look like. So, in fact,
so now you need an intern to write.
Right, my intern inquiries. Yeah. Yeah, so I just was writing one. I said, professional business coach and life coaching owner Greg Klaumenzer is a pioneering transformational business and life coach who has a unique way of helping professionals by educating them how their minds work and how human beings create their experience. He's looking to immerse an intern into a business that offers year-long coaching engagements, live events, and webinars to professionals and entrepreneurs we're dealing with business challenges and performance-related issues. The intern will work directly with Greg, both remotely via web conferencing, webinars, and attending live training events. So that's what I have so far.
That's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, my guess is, you know, so these are probably going to be college students, right? You know, like,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, my guess is you would probably get more people then, yeah, like I would think that you would get, you know, a handful of applicants. I'm just trying to think like how you would maximize that. Maybe like
I'd even put together a small team if I get so many, you know, like web designer, social media person, and event planner. I don't know. That's kind of what's going on. So now, I mean, the reason that showed up is that I don't know if you can see this, but I started to really kind of, like I said, this time off, I really get myself in all kinds of trouble. But I kind of created this.
Oh, great.
This kind of thing, funnel.
Yeah.
And at the top, it's the whole sole purpose of an intern from my point of view, or the help, is somebody that can is responsible for driving people to a free webinar. That's the whole purpose. The rest will take care of itself. So like my goal is like the vision. And I don't want to tell people what to do. I want them to tell me what to do. It's like, here's my objective. Mm-hmm. My objective is I've got some tools like lead pages and you know, these different things. And I want somebody who can just kind of run with creating the lead pages and maybe even figuring out the Facebook ads, and I give them a small budget, or we can come up with other ways. I don't even want to tell them about Facebook, but the objective is to get 100 people a month into a webinar, one webinar, four webinars, I don't care, but 100 people move through the webinars each month.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just guessing that probably 10 would, the offer would be to a 3-day immersion.
Okay.
That's the offer.
Right.
And I'm guessing if 100 people move through that system in a given month, that I'd probably get 10 people interested if it was targeted to the right people.
Right.
To show up for a 3-day.
Right.
And to do rinse and repeat that over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So over the course of 12 months, there's 1,200 people that go through a webinar.
Right.
And those, all those people that have gone through, that's a list that's being created.
Right.
You know, but I'm mostly just looking at the immediate trickle. There'd probably be a lot of other things that show up. But I figured if that's the only thing I focused on, the rest would kind of take care of itself.
Right. I think that's, yeah, I think that's a good strategy.
And yeah, so the webinars would be, well, now here's the other thing I was mucking around with. I'm having a hard time with lead pages, just getting in and fucking around with it and figuring out the right template and all that. So finally, I just created a document, and then I just ended up publishing it. And I'll share that with you. I put it on my website, but yeah, it's hard to read on there, but I'll see if I can make it bigger. Okay, there we go. Let me share my screen.
Sure.
All right. So this is what I created.
Okay.
Now, ideally, this would go into a lead page, but I had enough. So professionals discover the key to high performance, unlocking human potential, coaching, immersion, blah, blah, blah. But here's what I wrote yesterday. It's just kind of copy. Dear professional, what if the solution to your business performance issues had nothing to do with working harder, creating better systems, more accountability, better processes, the economy, motivation, credentials, and education? Rarely does it occur to the professional that the bottleneck in business performance issues are a result of their feeling state or state of mind. It's this internal state of mind of discouragement, dissatisfaction, complacency, lack of enthusiasm, and pressure that is responsible for the professional's low energy and poor performance. A professional's poor state of mind will ultimately lead to stress, boredom, distraction, burnout, bad decisions, fear, and resentments. Many professionals are living in this compromised state of mind unknowingly and are continuously looking outside themselves to identify the source of their problems. Unfortunately, the professional unnecessarily wastes time, money, and resources trying to remedy these internal issues from the outside in. So what can be done about these hidden performance problems that originate internally? At the core of every professional is the desire to enjoy meaningful work, to successfully be part of something, to touch their creative potential and experience a deep sense of health and well-being. In summary, professionals want to peek underneath the hood of the human experience and unlock what's possible for them. Here are the 3 steps to unlocking human potential. The professional has to see for themselves that their feeling state or current state of mind is not good and won't get them where they want to be. The professional has to see how their mind works and how every other human being's mind works in the exact same way, to understand how each person is creating their own moment-to-moment experience. The professional must educate themselves with an inside-out understanding of how the human system really works. Once a professional understands how their minds work and the role their minds play in their success and well-being, they're better equipped to navigate the daily ups and downs of business. The professional begins to experience true clarity, peace of mind, and resilience. This new understanding helps professionals upgrade a better feeling state with more creativity and a high performance state of mind. Knowing what you want is important. Getting yourself out of the way is key, Greg Clemenser. Would you like to discover the key to high performance? Join me for the next Unlocking Human Potential 3-day program designed for a person to explore three universal principles that, when realized, offers a new possibility for understanding how human beings really experience life. This discovery is both extremely simple and effortlessly life-changing. Participants from a variety of professions and people from all walks of life find both immediate and lifelong benefits from participating in the 3-day coaching immersion program. The program is delivered in a very relaxed and informal setting through a transformational conversation that is grounded in universal principles. The three principles are a trilogy of universal principles that are constant behind the human experience. The study, and more importantly, being in direct contact with the three principles, awakens an individual to their innate wisdom, health, and well-being. The implications of even the slightest insight into the nature of the three principles can provide real peace of mind, freedom, and new possibilities for living a high-quality life regardless of one's circumstances. A three-principle coaching approach focuses on helping people take full responsibility for their own happiness and freedom. It's the kindest and most leveraged way of helping people bounce back from life's biggest challenges. This understanding is absolutely fundamental for improving performance and well-being. Register now, blah, 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 blah.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So it's a little long. And this format, probably not the best to get people to. So, but anyways, it's what I created.
Yeah. Well, it's like it's moving it forward. So that's, yeah. So that part's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a way in which, like, that means a lot to me. Like, somebody in the coaching world already, I think, would know what that means. There's I have a desire to somehow, like, make it more benefit rich and, like, real, you know, like, bring in practical
points. Yeah.
I mean, for the start, I think it's good. There were a couple typos in there. I don't know if you, but yeah, I think that's a really good start to get people going, to get it out there.
Yeah. It's for a lot for my clarity too, just kind of putting it out there. That's kind of the standard, I mean, that right there, actually, after I did it, that would actually be the also content pushing for the webinar.
Right.
You know, and then the webinar just breaks down this internal dilemma, you know, this invisible problem that is overlooked by the professional. And then just break it down how everything works. Share the three principles. Share how humans create their experience, and then also let them know that an intellectual understanding is not beneficial to human beings,
mm-hmm.
and that this is really an introduction. It's the menu, but the main course you got to show up for.
Right.
Because you can't get any nutrients or any value or any real leverage from the from eating a menu.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So the purpose of this is to really kind of share the situation and to let you know that there's another way, so to speak, and
mm-hmm.
it resonates with you, and you can see that the logic in this. Then I'd invite you to come spend 3 days with me, and be part of the transformational conversation and let it land for you
mm-hmm.
in a way that opens up a new possibility for you professionally and personally. So that's the pitch.
Right. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It has a nice natural sequencing to it. You know, it needs to be experienced and they're going to, you know, they have to move from the webinar to the 3-day to actually be able to experience it. So that works out well.
Yeah. It's so cool. You know, I continue to get the ripple effects from people that have done it. Like, I just got an email from this woman who had done one, this last one. And she's like, just how she's go, wow, I am really grateful for this weekend. It's like, you know, what you said is true. The insights are coming, and, you know, I've never journaled in my adult life, and now I've decided to journal.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what showed up for her or made sense to her. And I'm like, wow, that's really cool. You know, so it's really neat to watch this process unfold. Or, you know, it's like, it's kind of like a doctor, you know, delivering babies, you know, that's kind of cool, but it's even cooler thinking of, what's this guy going to be when he grows up?
Or right. What's he
going to do with her life? So
right.
That's kind of the cool part.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And in terms of, it's awesome that people are really giving you a lot of feedback and, you know, sharing wins and things like that. And I joined this one copywriting group, I basically paid like $1,200 for a year to be in this with this guy that's like really good. And what it's all about is I get to look over his shoulder. And so twice a month, we can submit copy that we're working on, and he'll either, you know, make suggestions right on the live call, or he'll pop on and say, hey, I have this client, they okayed it for me to share what I'm doing here. You know, we look over his shoulder. Well, the thing that he's saying is like the best in terms of conversions right now is people's stories. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you write like, you know, make up a client's name to keep their anonymity, but, you know, this is what they were struggling with. You know, this is how they were doing life or their business, you know, before this. And literally like, you know, using just wording it in a way that's, you know, engaging and entertaining, and people are going to want to know what the end of the story is. You know, they were struggling with this, and then, but when, you know, after they came to my, you know, 3-day event, everything changed. I'll get back to that in just a minute. You know, and so you're basically like pulling them through this, you know, this story. And then if there's a way in which you can have people like self-select, like, oh, I want to know the story about whatever, you know, like maybe it's like somebody that's succeeded in business, somebody that's succeeded in an area of relationship, you know, pick another, you know, area that, you know, that you've got a testimonial for, and then they read through that and they're, you know, you're basically pitching them on it, but it's all in a story form. So their defenses aren't as high, you know, they're just reading this story about this person, and ideally they'll relate to it and be like, oh shit, like I want to have that kind of, you know, change in my relationship, or have my employees, you know, my, you know, work relationships, you know, be better.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I like that a lot. I've been doing, well, not necessarily that, but what I've been doing is looking at how is the professional or my gravatar, how are they looking at their business issues?
Hmm. Yeah.
That's really, I think the key here is like when business dips or there's a challenge or there's business concerns or performance issues, how does the average professional look at that?
Yeah.
Now, I was just writing about that this morning, and you know, typically how they look at that is, let's see, where did I? You know, they, so how they look at it is the first place they go is they tend to complain or blame their staff, right. The incompetencies of their team.
Right.
They go to complain about compensation. They complain about the economy.
Right.
You know, they complain about unfriendly state in which they're doing business in.
Mm-hmm.
What else? You know, they complain about not getting support or running into roadblocks with the parent company or the organization or the association, you know, so you know, how they also look at it is they get really down on themselves. They look at, well, gosh, you know, they start to look at their own work ethics, question that. You know, when business dips, they start to question their profession at large. They start to go, you know, boy, I climbed the wrong ladder here.
Right, another ladder might be easier.
Another ladder might be easier. The grass looks greener. So this is what's going on when professionals are confronted with a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, their inner state of mind becomes that of discouraged, dissatisfied, restless, not enough, whatever it is, you know, and then they become very reactive.
Mm-hmm.
They may even go from one company to another, like a lateral move, you know. They may just take one for the team and cope, which means their alcohol consumption probably goes up.
Right.
You know, the stress starts to, you know, kind of get them. So this is what's going on with people,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that whole, you could say where they're looking when things go sideways for them, or their challenge, where they look is they look out in the world of what's going wrong,
mm-hmm.
or they'll beat themselves up.
Right.
You know? And they don't see the fact that there's something else going on.
Mm, right.
You know, they don't see the fact that in a low economy, there's still people who really thrive, that do really well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you know, everybody's got a challenging vendor or a client, or everybody's dealing with the challenges of hiring and retaining good help. You know, like so why is it one person can, you know, is able to do that and another person can't?
Right.
You know, so really getting them to wake up to the fact that there's something else going on at a mm-hmm. deeper level, you know.
Right.
Like why is it one person can overnight just launch a newsletter campaign and it just starts taking off organically?
Mm-hmm.
While another person has a really good plan, is well thought out, they've got all the knowledge in the world, but for some reason they're having a hard time getting it off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you explain that? You know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you could say one's actually too smart, and the other one doesn't know any better.
Mm, right. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the smarter people are, the more thinking they have, and they think that that's a good thing, that the more they know is the leverage to get something off the ground, where it's actually the opposite.
Mm.
Like, the less you have going on between the 6 inches between your ears, the easier it is to get things done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a, you could say even a greater willingness to make a mistake, though probably don't, you know, but there's more experimentation.
Right.
There's less having to have it perfect and get it right.
Mm.
You know, they're actually surprised by their success, the ones that don't know any better.
Mm.
And the ones that know better, they're always disappointed with how things have turned out.
Mm, right.
High expectations. And then they lick their wounds and are wondering why other people are getting the rewards and accolades that they feel they deserve.
Right. Yeah, like,
is that making sense to you?
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like the less that's going on in my own personal experience, like the less that's going on in my head as I'm doing things is usually the better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless it's, I don't know, optimized in some way for the, you know, the task at hand where I'm, in most cases, it's just absent, I think.
Well, what do you mean by the optimized, or are you seeing it different now that you're...
Well, so if I'm working on something like, oh, wow, like, this is good, like, this is cool, you know, this is great, you know, I feel like I'm in the flow. Like if my mind is kind of supporting my actions and not bumping up against it, then sometimes some activity going on in my head can feel like it's beneficial, or at the very least, like not getting in the way. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so.
But I guess when I think of times when I'm actually in the flow, mm-hmm. yeah, they're really, it's not like I'm just kind of, receiving something. Like I think a lot of times, like if I'm writing or working on, you know, jotting down some notes for a project or, you know, trying to write some copy. Yeah. A lot of times it's just coming out and not, yeah, there's not a lot of thought happening with it.
Yeah. 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 Like the way I see it is, when I'm really engaged in something, David, I'm there's no me there.
Mm, right.
And when I show up is when the problem begins.
Right. Yeah.
As soon as I show up, that's where the trouble starts.
Mm. Yeah.
That's the power of engagement. Like I'm really seeing that insight more deeply. Is the power of engagement is I just practice throwing myself into things, and as a result, like if I threw myself into fighting with you or rolling, then I'm not thinking of myself anymore. I'm in that trying to hold on to my dear life so you don't kill me, you know. And vice versa, right? You're like thrown into it.
Mm-hmm.
In those moments where we're thrown into something or even in over our heads, okay, we're not there's no me there.
Mm.
And then the other thing that I'm seeing is that when there's no me there and I'm thrown into it, something else becomes available to me.
Mm.
It's beyond my abilities, intellect, experience, whatever it is. Something else shows up.
Mm-hmm.
And you could say that's where our genius is. You know, many of us, myself included, have it asked backwards. We think that my genius is when I'm all here.
Hmm.
And I'm going to suggest that when I'm not here is when the genius can show up.
Right. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yesterday I was playing with a dyad with a young woman, or not young woman, a lady, a woman from Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
She's also into the principles. I met her up in Washington, and I'd introduced her to the dyads, and so we've been doing them on Skype. or Zoom. And we explored one yesterday out of something I had said, and she said, oh, that sounds like a good dyad. So we were talking about how I'm seeing satisfaction. And how satisfaction lives within each of us. It's unbroken, complete, and whole. Yet, we're looking for satisfaction out there. And so that really kind of struck her. And so we did a dyad exploring. The dyad was, tell me what occurs for you. So tell me what occurs for you when you look. So tell me what occurs for you when you look at satisfaction from the inside out. And that was really, really helpful to dropping that inner satisfaction from a conceptual thing to an embodied or embodied. It's like, oh, yeah, that's true. Like satisfaction really is always within us. And like, what occurs for you when you open to satisfaction from an inside, from the inside out? Like, so tell me what occurs for you when you open to satisfaction from the inside out.
I'm gonna jot that one down real quick. Yeah, I like that a lot.
And you know, what occurred is, oh, well, if I open to satisfaction from the inside out, there's this, I don't have to chase things. I don't have to prove anything. Anything that I would touch or any game that I would throw my hat in the ring with wouldn't be to prove anything. It wouldn't be to get any more because I'm already satisfied. It's unbroken. It's complete. It would just be, it would come from satisfaction. But like, and then the deeper I looked at that, like when I opened to it, it's like, well, satisfaction doesn't need anything. It's not missing anything. It's already complete, satisfied. And so as I open to that satisfaction from the inside out, well, that's just kind of a real relief. And one of the things I saw, well, then what would I do? Well, I would just wait for the next inkling or inspiration to guide me. I mean, that's what made sense to me.
I can see that.
So that would be a really new way for most professionals to maybe approach business and life. Yet the implications, I think, could be really helpful to professionals, having a lot more joy and happiness and peace of mind and maybe fun and fulfillment, because you could say they don't have anything on anything. They just keep swinging. They keep playing. They keep splashing around. They keep musing. They keep flirting. They keep teasing out whatever's in front of them or throwing themselves into it. From a place of wholeness, completion, and satisfaction already existing.
It's a question around, so how much like grounding in truth does someone need to really be able to feel that sense of satisfaction from the inside out. Like you and I are able to, and clearly you're the woman that you did this practice with the other day was able to rest in something that allows access to that at a deeper level. So someone who's constantly just lost in thought all the time, I'm wondering what would their
Well, I think people, any person, can see what's already there.
Hmm.
You know, that's what we all have in common, is the ability to see what's already there.
Hmm.
It's just about looking in a new direction.
Right.
It's just kind of pausing for a second and going, huh, yeah, that's true. I have been looking. You know, I can't get no satisfaction. You know, look, I'm just out. Nothing really seems to satisfy me. And yet there's this continual default or knee-jerk or habitual reaction to continue to look out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like even for me, these webinars and the things that we've been talking about, it's like, well, that really it changes everything, because it's like, if I really look at satisfaction's already here, like I don't need this to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have too much on it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the other thing I was seeing, because I was also kind of in this musing around an intern. I go, oh, I see why I've had difficulty with getting help, because I'm always dissatisfied. Like I have this inner state of perpetual dissatisfaction, which is looking out there being dissatisfied with everything, but it's coming from me. And then it dawned on me, well, if I was open to this inner satisfaction that's already within each human being, wow, this intern thing looks really different.
Mm, right.
It looks like, well, if they fuck up, they fuck up. It doesn't matter much. I'm already satisfied.
Mm.
But that's not, like, my satisfaction isn't dependent of them doing a good job or a bad job or making this project happen or not happen. It's like, oh, I could just approach the project from a place of satisfaction already. That feels really different.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's really, really very deep.
Yeah, that is.
You know.
Yeah.
So what's landing for you or coming up for you in this discussion? Questions.
Well, that whole example, especially that example at the end of starting from a place of satisfaction, mm-hmm. and then from that place, moving towards something, like in your case, it's finding an intern. That story, I think, going back to my earlier suggestion around how people relate and remember stories. That makes it really concrete for people. Mm. And I can see it immediately. Coming from this place, like I'm already satisfied with how things are, and moving towards something. There's not as much on it, as the words you use, or there's not as much at stake. You know, it'd be great if, you know, a bunch of people show up in this webinar and you get to play with, you know, people and live, you know, for a couple of days and, you know, get nice emails from them afterwards. But if that doesn't happen, like you know, you're still grounded in this state of satisfaction. So
yeah,
it's really cool.
Well, what's also dawning on me is that perpetual state or habitual state, inner state of dissatisfaction, that's got to put pressure on people.
Right. Right.
like that, the implications of dissatisfaction will, you know, that would make somebody else really self-conscious, you know, or maybe get them to question themselves. I'm sure it has lots of implications, but probably not any real positive ones.
Right. I'm trying to think constant. Yeah, I can't think of anything constant.
Yeah.
Internal pressure is going to help. Yeah, help with.
Yeah. And you know, what's occurring for me now is that our internal states aren't compartmentalized. It's not like, oh, it's just a dissatisfaction with the kind of help I might get or not get. It's pervasive in every area of my life that dissatisfaction shows up.
Right.
That's kind of the beauty around this, going, oh, wow, huh. It's kind of like dissatisfaction is now on the table.
Right. You got your eye on it.
It's on the table, and now as a result, it can be cleared.
Hmm.
Not necessarily by me, but by universal mind. But it's like it's on the table, so to speak.
Mm.
Now, I don't need to change dissatisfaction. What's occurring for me is I just need to come home to satisfaction.
Hmm. So in the words that you use sometimes, would it just be like looking in the direction of satisfaction?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
Or not.
Hmm.
You know, another way to say it is like, what is the deeper feeling of unbroken, complete satisfaction?
Hmm.
Like, what's that feeling? And my partner used the word ease. She kept using the word ease yesterday. And for me, it's just kind of peace. So like if I could just reside in ease and peace, then I can allow dissatisfying thoughts to be there as well.
Hmm. Yeah, I can see that.
Like if I'm satisfied, I can just be with an insecure thought, a dissatisfied thought. But if I don't see it, I'm swept away by it and I'm reacting to it, because dissatisfied feels really different.
Right.
You know, there's this constant evaluation. Here's my expectations. Here's what is, here's what I was hoping for. Here's what happened.
Mm-hmm. It's not fair.
It's not fair. This situation is inequitable. You know, seems like I got the short end of the stick here. You know, I didn't get what I, you know, so you could say me starts to really show up.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm satisfied, what's occurring for me is I just show up in every opportunity to serve, not to get it.
Yeah.
So if I'm working with an intern, it's like, well, yeah, I have some ideas, I have a vision, I have something that I'm up to. What do you think about it? You think you can help? And then just really look at how deeply I can serve that person moment by moment.
Mm.
That engagement, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I've been on this intern thing for a little bit. You know, one of the thoughts was, you know, having two or three interns go through a 3-day.
Ah.
That be the glue or create the culture of working together.
Mm, wow. Yeah.
You know, so that's the real opportunity for an intern to work with me, is to kind of be immersed
mm-hmm.
in the teachings and the understandings and being served really deeply
right
through that process. And then for them to choose in or choose out how they want to play in moving this understanding or vision forward.
Mm-hmm.
That just seems really clean to me.
Yeah.
Really in a deeper alignment in coming from satisfaction rather than coercion and management and control and dissatisfaction and mm-hmm. disappointment and all that. So maybe all those inquiries that I get for an intern, you know, the thing is, I do a 3-day just for interns and then see who wants to play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would be actually really fun and just completely give,
mm-hmm.
give a whole 3-day for a handful of interns and then see who wants to stick around
mm-hmm.
and how do you want to play.
Right.
Part of the team here.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like that.
Yeah, I like that too.
That sounds really cool to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I've always wanted is, you know, I'm always, I love community. It's you know, one of the reasons why I love getting together here with you and doing group. But I've really longed to have community with a purpose.
Hmm.
You know, like we're working together with a project or a purpose and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in group, people come together, they got their own stuff going on and they're doing their thing, but it'd be cool to take all this and create a team.
Mm, right.
You know, and seeing where it takes us.
Mm-hmm.
And then, try it again.
Right. Yeah.
That actually feels pretty good.
I like that a lot. Yeah. Yeah. Because that 3-day experience with them, you know, the people that, you know, that choose to be a part of it, like you'll have you'll speak some of the same language. You know, they'll have a why, you know, that's deeper than, oh, I'll get some work experience. Mm-hmm. You know, like, because no one who doesn't resonate with what you're offering is going to stick around. Like, they're going to have an immersive experience of it. And those that stay, yeah, I would imagine would just have a deeper why. Like, yeah, like, I want to, this is amazing. I want to, you know, help share this and be a part of this. And, you know, where do I sign? Like, that's my guess as to, yeah, like the what is much more likely to happen than if they just, you know, come in, you do an interview with them and
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Oh, I think it'll be great.
Yeah. Like I'm not interested in hiring hands.
Mm.
Like I want their hearts.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's yeah. I'd be unsatisfied with their hands alone.
Right.
Because I know that doesn't really serve them or is not really the culture that I want to create.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. That'd be cool. And then getting it out to, you know, really getting it out to younger people too.
Mm, true.
Hmm. I like that. So that's taking the intern thing and teasing it out a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So a 3-day immersion for interns.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah. And something around, you know, actually advertise, like however you're putting the word out about this, but advertising that you're looking for several. Mm-hmm. You know, I could use somebody who's, you know, a good writer. I could use somebody that's good at event planning, you know, somebody that's technically, because I think you'll get more people. And then by sending them through the, you know, the 3-day, you'll know which ones, you know, to keep around. But as opposed to having one person, just like, I don't know, I just love people and their gifts. Mm-hmm. I talked to a great copywriter this week. I'm waiting to find out what her pricing is, but, it's just really great when you get to talk to somebody that they are clear what their gift is and what their gift isn't. And yeah, they get to stay kind of in their zone of genius, as I've heard it called, rather than, just trying to find somebody that will wear a bunch of hats.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. That has me excited. Yeah. It feels like, it feels really good. Mm.
Now, I was talking with this gal in Colorado yesterday, and she brought up a good point that with the exception of doing the live events, the person wouldn't even have to be local. I could work remotely.
Mm, true.
Like this platform, and, you know, get the team together on a, you know, a Skype call or whatever.
Right.
So that would be... be open to that. So
right.
See any intern opportunities out there, let me know.
Yeah. I don't know where would you go? I mean, I guess through schools, right? Like you had contact different.
Well, you could go through schools. You could probably post I think there's some other websites specifically for interns, you know.
Oh, okay.
And then probably even put something in Craigslist, I'm thinking.
You know, right. Yeah. So
probably a lot of different ways.
Right.
Indeed, probably put some stuff. I don't know. There's probably a lot of different ways. I have to figure out. Yeah. The schools are definitely one as well.
Right. Okay.
But I guess you could say I'm just kind of engaging with this idea of interns, and just talking with people, and the more I talk about it, it kind of starts to take a little more shape and form, and
mm-hmm.
like yesterday at this time I didn't even know. I thought I was just looking for a marketing intern or social media intern or something. I figured, well, that's like, I didn't know that there was even anything else. Like, I didn't know there was interns in psychology and, you know, communication interns.
Oh wow. Yeah, I wouldn't have either.
Yeah.
Huh.
So we'll see. Keep you posted.
Yeah. I'm excited to hear how it unfolds.
When did we talk last?
It was about a week ago. Maybe late last week.
Yeah.
Thursday, maybe. Something like that.
What was it that we were inspired about?
There was a way in which, okay, so we had a conversation and I was asking you a bunch of questions about the three principles and some of the practicality of it. Mm-hmm. I think we got into